Hello and welcome to a damp Friday here. It's a Juno afternoon. I'm your host, Andy Klein, and today we're going to be getting the details on the Champagne and Chopin concert with Reggie Schapp and Will Ransom. Also going to be talking to Sierra Gader from the Alaska Travel Industry Association about the Whiskey Wings and Wares event that's happening Friday, today, at the Red Dog Saloon. Going to be hearing about the healthcare enrollment from Bartlett Regional Hospital. Author Nick Jans will be here to highlight his Friday fireside lecture about the new Black Wolf exhibit at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center. And we're going to get the schedule for Martin Luther King Jr. Day observances with guest Sherry Patterson, all coming up right after National Native News.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. The Yankton Sioux Tribal Chairman says understanding the cultures of Native and non-Native people is a first step in closing the gap between the groups. Robert Flying Hawk addressed the South Dakota legislature Thursday during the second State of the Tribes address. Lee Strubinger has the story.
Flying Hawk calls for unity between state government and the tribes. He says teaching more Native American history will help bridge the cultural divide. Flying Hawk says many of the reservations are challenged by methamphetamine addictions, but more increasingly heroin. He says he wants South Dakotans to reflect on what makes us different and to recognize those differences.
They're there, but they're not visible at times. So I'm just trying to share with the thoughts that I had that we, as a Native people and in the mainstream, can both benefit from understanding each other and the life that we live. And that by understanding those, we will become stronger as a nation.
Flying Hawk says many of the challenges between Indian Country and the rest of the state go unseen, but are very real.
As we get into jobs, into schools, into stores, just a mental idea about seeing color, and that's a basic challenge that we can overcome.
Flying Hawk also called for help with Native healthcare and proposals that spur local economies on the reservation. For National Native News, I'm Lee Strubinger in Pierce, South Dakota.
9 children from the Havasupai tribe in Arizona and a legal rights organization are suing the federal government over what their lawyers say is a dismal failure to provide basic education at a Bureau of Indian Education school. The lawsuit filed Thursday claims the school teaches only English and math without any instruction in other subjects. The suit claims the school occasionally shuts down for weeks at a time and does not have adequate textbooks. Alexis De La Cruz is a staff attorney with the Native American Disability Law Center, one of the plaintiffs.
We're asking for a qualified and appropriately trained teacher in every classroom. We're asking that the BIE develop and implement a system for the delivery of special education services to all students with disabilities. We're asking for culturally relevant wellness and mental health support for all the students.
De La Cruz claims there are similar problems at other BIE schools across the country and says the suit has broad implications. The lawsuit names the Bureau of Indian Education, the U.S. Interior Department, and the principal of Havasupai Elementary School. The Interior Department has not responded to requests for comment on the lawsuit. Meanwhile, the Interior Department announced today the approval of the first Land Into Trust application in Alaska. The department approved a parcel owned by the Craig Tribal Association in Craig, Alaska, into federal Indian Trust status. The decision comes under a revised rule for Alaska tribes to acquire Land Into Trust. Principal Deputy Assistant Secretary for Indian Affairs Lawrence Roberts says the journey to the decision has been long, and now tribes in Alaska have the same opportunity as those in the lower 48. The Craig Tribal Association purchased the property from an individual landowner in the 1990s and developed the land, which includes a facility used as office space. According to the Interior Department, the decision does not make the parcel eligible for gaming or does not impact state law enforcement authority. The state of Alaska had long opposed Land Into Trust, which included taking the issue to court. Last year, the state dropped litigation. Tribal leaders point to Land Into Trust as exercising self-determination with the ability to enhance the health, safety, and welfare of their people and promote economic development. I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support great causes like National Native News. Just select KNBA-FM Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska. Support by Ramona Farms, offering wholesome and delicious foods from our heirloom crops as our contribution to a better diet for the benefit of all people. We are honored to share our centuries-old farming and culinary traditions online at RamonaFarms.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
Support for this program comes from listeners like you and GCI, offering TurboZone in restaurants, coffee shops, sports arenas, and other locations. More information at GCI.com.
Get your tickets for the KTRO and Taku Fisheries Seafood Festival on January 28th at Centennial Hall with Breezen, Salt, The Rookery, Saffron, Twilight Cafe, TK McGuire's, Coconut Thai Cafe, and V Celador, serving seafood at its best. Specialty desserts and a beer tasting with the Alaskan Brewing Company complete this culinary celebration benefiting KTOO. Tickets at KTOO.org. The Seafood Festival is brought to you with sponsorship support from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and Pacific Seafood Processors Association.
And welcome back to a Juno afternoon on this rainy, snowy, not snowy, really, rainy and windy and nasty, awful weather out there. But that's all right. We're warm inside, and we're talking to Reggie Schaap and Will Ransom from Juno Jazz and Classics. We're going to be talking about the Champagne and Chopin concert coming up on Sunday. And also talking to Will, just you're welcome to town and a glorious, glorious day of weather here for you to fly in. And
thank you.
So you survived the flight. That's good. You're in. You're fine. Everything's good. And so welcome in. So let's talk first of all about the Champagne and Chopin concert that's happening. Sounds pretty fun. Sounds like fairly self-explanatory, but there's a little more to it, right?
That's right.
Yeah, so what's going on? Tell us about it.
Well, this is we're going to be introducing Will to Juno as the new artistic director for Juno Jazz and Classics. It's happening Sunday evening at 7 p.m. at the Jack. Tickets are still available, but I really want Will to tell you about what he's going to be playing and the wonderful music we're going to have for you that evening.
Yeah, so we've gained an artistic director for Juno Jazz and Classics. We've also gained a pianist
that's
into
right.
town. So that's a really exciting thing. So you're going to be kind of showcasing some of that.
That's right. Thanks. It's wonderful to be here. And I'm just so honored and excited to be taking over after 30 years from Linda Rosenthal, who founded this incredible festival and has nurtured it and kept it going with so much help from the community all these years. And I just wanted to sort of say hello to everybody, and this is my introduction. And one of my favorite composers in the world, everybody's favorite, is Frédéric Chopin, you know, the poet of the piano. And one of everybody's favorite drinks is champagne. So what a great pairing. So we're going to have a wonderful time. I'm going to make everybody forget about the weather outside and play some of my and everybody's favorite Chopin pieces, including the Fantasy Impromptu and the Heroic Polonaise, the G Minor Ballade. And some surprises along the way as well. We'll have some special giveaways and some announcements about the upcoming season in May, the 31st season, and lots of wonderful food to eat as well, chocolate-covered strawberries
cool.
and strawberry cheesecake. So it's going to be a great evening, and it's all to benefit the 31st festival coming up in May.
And so this is starting 7 o'clock. It's Sunday at the Jack. So can we talk a little bit about, can we give a little bit of a sneak preview about what the season holds? Maybe don't give everything away, but maybe a little bit of what you think
yeah.
we're really excited about bringing in this
Absolutely.
Year?
Absolutely. Well, it's my first year here, and I'm just so thrilled to introduce some of my favorite music and my favorite musicians to the community. And some of the fun programs we have coming up, we have one called Beethoven's Fifth, which is going to feature the Fifth Cello Sonata, the Fifth String Quartet, and then Beethoven's famous Fifth Symphony, but this time for piano four hands. So you'll hear it in a completely different way. And I'll be playing it with an incredible, tall, gorgeous Norwegian beauty, brilliant pianist named Julie Kusheron that you guys are going to fall in love with. That's going to be a great one. Oh, one of my favorites I've put together is called Alaskan Trout because of the great fish here that I discovered the first time I came to visit. So we'll have a trout dinner for those who want it, at T.K. McGuire's before the concert, and then Schubert's great Trout Quintet.
Oh, all right. There you go.
And Zool Bailey, who's the hottest thing in classical music these days and a great festival favorite here, is coming back, and he'll be performing on that concert as well.
Very cool. Now, let's a little bit of background about you. You're from Atlanta, moved here from Atlanta. How long were you in Atlanta?
Well, I haven't moved here.
I'll be back
and forth.
Right, sure.
And coming up for the festival and then in and out during the rest of the season for special events as well.
So that's your home base there, and you've been
exactly.
there for quite a while. And
right. Studied at Juilliard and moved to Atlanta to teach at Emory University, where I've been in residence. And there I direct the piano program, and I also run the Emory Chamber Music Society of Atlanta, which basically presents the same kind of concerts that we do here at the festival, but during the regular season. And in addition, another hat I wear, and the way that I actually met Linda Rosenthal, was that in the summers, in late June through early August, I direct the Highlands Cashers Chamber Music Festival up in the mountains of North Carolina, which is another beautiful paradise, very different from Juneau, but the same kind of spirit and feeling of this wonderful community that loves music and comes together over great food and great wine and great music and musicians and just has a wonderful time. And Linda came down, is it 2 years ago now? Yeah, 2 years ago now. To North Carolina to check out the festival and to hear one of the musicians that I had engaged who was making his U.S. debut, this amazing Russian-Korean violinist who played here last year. And while she was there, she saw my work and what the festival was doing there and apparently liked it. And
yeah.
when she decided that after 30 years she was ready to do some other things, she asked if I'd be interested in coming out and taking over, and I just jumped at the opportunity.
Very cool. Wow, that's great. That's a great story, and it's really cool to hear that the Juneau Jazz and Classics has the prestige that can draw in talented people like yourself to our community to help run this ongoing thing that we kind of feel like is just a treasure that happens here every year.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one this year. Sounds like fun, but part of the thing that it supports it is this concert that's coming up this weekend. It'll support the putting on the season this year, right?
That's correct. It will help us bring in the artists that we do. As you all know how expensive it is to get people up here, and each year we bring over 50 musicians up. So our benefit concerts really help with that cause to get these wonderful artists here.
Yeah, so it's happening Sunday again at 7 o'clock. The tickets are $50 and $25 for student tickets. As you said, there's still tickets available.
Still tickets available. You can get them at the Jack at Hearthside Books, or you can get them online at jazzandclassics.org.
Okay, it sounds like a great time of champagne and Chopin. And then you listed off all these works, and I nodded like I knew what you're talking about. But, you know, obviously, as you said, the poet of the piano, it's beautiful work. Every time you hear it, it's just magnificent to hear. So
it is. It's going to be a very special evening. I hope everybody will come out and hear some great music, have some great champagne, and support the festival.
Well, great. Will Ransom and Rezi Schaap, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about this cool concert coming up Sunday at 7 o'clock at the Jack for Juneau Jazz and Classics.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Stay
okay.
Right.
Special people change. How many lives are living strange? Where were you while we were getting high? Slowly walking down the hall, faster than a cannonball. Where were you while we were getting high? Someday you will find me. Champagne supernova in the sky. Someday you will find me caught beneath the landslide in a champagne supernova. A champagne. Walking down the hall.
Oasis talking about champagne. And we're going to move from talking about champagne and Chopin to we're talking about whiskey. Whiskey Wings and Wares event is coming up. Actually, is it tonight at the Red Dog?
It is tonight, Friday the 13th at the Red Dog.
Sierra Gadara is here from the Alaska Travel Industry Association. And, yeah, tell me about this. Sounds pretty fun. I mean,
we are talking about Juneau's most distinctive wintertime activities, and that's food and booze.
Right. So eating wings.
It's not a bad day for it, honestly. With this kind of weather, who doesn't want to cuddle up with a glass of whiskey?
Yeah, absolutely. So so tell me about it. What's the idea behind it?
Well, it's redundantly it's explained in the title, but yes, it's a Whiskey Wings and Wares. Again, we will have a whiskey tasting that there'll be 5 tastings provided by the Odom Corporation, and then Endless Wings, which sounds pretty good. That's provided by the Red Dog Saloon, and then Wares. We actually will have 5 local Juneau boutiques with pop-up shops in the upstairs of the Red Dog. And what's even cooler is a few of these boutiques don't have storefronts. So this is your opportunity to actually come and see some of their, more artisanal boutique stuff that they make. We'll have Frost and Fur. She was a big hit at the Juneau Public Market this year. We will have Shoe Fly representing, as well as Tree Top Tees. We'll have Marms and Meeks. I believe they only sell their stuff at the Arts and Humanities Center. And then we'll also have Just Made in Alaska, which is a local jewelry maker.
That's really cool that you've got. I mean, it's such a cool idea to not just do a tasting and have a fun event, but also to really showcase all this great stuff that is made here, all these artisans that are here making cool stuff.
It's important to not only drink, but to also be social.
And as you say, in the world of Etsy and the world of eBay and things like that, there are all these people that are making this stuff but don't necessarily have a storefront.
Exactly. And I was really impressed by the community support. A lot of these shop owners were like, absolutely. I mean, you had us a whiskey, but also a chance to sell our wares. It's going to be really great.
Now, Shoe Fly, of course, people know. But what are some of the other ones that you're kind of excited about? Tell me, maybe just to pick out a couple of those.
I'm really excited about Treetop Tees, actually. I mean, they have a new downtown location across from the Bear Knot, but a lot of people don't know about them. I saw them at the Juneau Public Market, and a lot of people were like, whoa, what's this shop? And
yeah, cool.
So it'll be really cool. They have a bunch of local designs on the softest T-shirts you've ever touched. And, of course, Frost and Fur, too. She was actually also at the Public Market, and she does some really artful screen printing.
Beautiful
very
work.
Affordable
yeah,
stuff,
yeah.
too.
I've been a fan of hers for a long time and followed the stuff, and it's kind of a detailed etching kind of work, I would say, that kind of thing, really beautiful designs.
Absolutely. And she was so successful, I remember the Public Market, that she ended up doing her own pop-up shop, and she sold out so fast, like a week before Christmas. So here's your opportunity if you were trying to find some Frost and Fur stuff. She will be there this evening.
And then what are the whiskeys? Do you know about which whiskeys are going?
I do have a whiskey.
I
actually want to
hear about, and you can try, I'll try pronouncing them too.
I know. Well, here's the thing. It's like, beer drinkers, like you're a beer drinker, everybody, we're not too particular beer drinkers, but whiskey drinkers, typically particular
speak for
people.
Yourself. I'm particular about my beer, but go ahead.
I'm just making a point. I'm probably about to embarrass myself with how I'm going to pronounce these whiskeys. But so the Odom Corporation has hooked us up with 5 great whiskeys. We will have the Sia. A coffee grain whiskey from Japan. It's a single grain corn distilled in a coffee column still from Scotland.
That's cool.
My favorite is all of the adjectives they use to describe these. Let me lay these on you,
please,
my sweet
do.
Radio
this
voice.
Is, oh, here it
here
comes.
We got herbaceous, honey, vanilla notes.
These things are true, though.
When
you taste a really good whiskey, you can definitely pick out vanilla and herbaceous things. And, of course, coffee is going to be in there as well.
That'll be great. And so that one, we have another a 6-year rye whiskey. We got a 12-year Kentucky bourbon. That's from the I.W. Harper Distillery in Tennessee. Let's see, what else do we have? We have the U.S. #1 bourbon by Mitchers. In Louisville. I've never heard of that
All
one.
All right.
That
good Kentucky
delicious.
Bourbon, Louisville. Good.
Oh, and then another Kentucky bourbon is an 8-year Kentucky bourbon from Trails, and it's a Clear Creek Distillery in Portland. So really a wide range from all across the U.S. and internationally
it's
as well.
It's cool. That's another thing that's happening. A lot of people are really aware of the craft beer movement, and all these little cool breweries. The same thing is happening with distilleries, and of course we have Amalgo Distillery. It's going to be opening here in town soon.
That's going to be exciting.
And it's going to be really exciting, but it's cool to see all these different distilleries, these boutique distilleries doing really great work. So, and a lot of them, you think about Scotch and Irish whiskeys and things that we know that come from Scotland, that sort of thing, but it's really cool to think about all these ones coming out of little tiny
places. I was shocked by the one from Japan.
Yeah.
Sendu, Japan. That's going to be really cool. But also so many bourbons. I know that's, you know, we're Americans. We do love our bourbon.
It goes good with chicken wings, too.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
unlimited. Endless chicken wings.
Well, you did you say that earlier?
Yeah.
Unlimited?
Unlimited. So
endless wing?
Somebody out there is taking that as a personal challenge, and I am ready to meet that challenge.
Oh,
we are ready.
Are you sure?
This
could turn ugly.
This could be amazing. Not unlimited whiskey. Let me say that again.
Right.
5 tastings.
Yeah.
I should also say important stuff. There are tickets online. You can still get them until 6 p.m. tonight. The event itself is at 7 at the Red Dog.
Okay.
But we do have tickets on Facebook. That's Whiskey Wings and Wares. You can just search for it, or Brown Paper Tickets. That is $30 online, or $25 if you are an ATIA member or work for an ATIA, you know, company. And then $35 at the door. So you can save yourself, you know, $5-$10 if you go on right now and get a ticket. And in addition to that, you can make that cost back because we are doing a raffle ticket. At 8:30, we'll be raffling off stuff like a $75 gift certificate to Shoe Fly. I mean, so there's your ticket.
There you go.
Plus
Boom.
A pair of shoes.
Plus.
And some other stuff.
You're losing money right now by not buying a ticket.
Exactly.
That's what you're saying. That's amazing.
And we'll also have, you know, all of our wonderful vendors are going to be donating stuff to that raffle as well.
Very cool. All right. Well, it's the Whiskey Wings and Wares event. It's happening tonight, 7 o'clock at the Red Dog, but tickets are still available online. Available at the door for $35, online for $30. And it's all happening because of Alaska Travel Industry Association. And the wares are going to be amazing. The whiskey is going to be incredible. And, of course, unlimited wings from Red Dog. This is a win, win, win.
Oh, my gosh. So many alliterations. I love it.
So many. Win, win, win with whiskey, wings, and wares.
And, of course, this is a great fundraiser. The money is going towards the Alaska Travel Industry Association, which a lot of people don't realize is the leading organization that promotes tourism in Alaska. Very important for Juneau's economy and the state economy, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, that's what we're raising money for. So it's you know, it's a long-term good cause,
All
tourism.
Right. Well, Sarah Goddard, thanks so much for coming in, letting us know about it. It's happening at the Red Dog tonight, 7 o'clock. It's the Whiskey Wings and Wares event. And tickets are still available, $35 at the door, though, too.
Yep.
So, all right, Sarah, thanks so much for coming in.
Thanks so much.
All right. Back at a Juno afternoon. Hey, check out Gambling the High Costa Living. That's going to be happening for KRNN Saturday at 8 p.m. There's still tickets available for this. They're $15 in advance at krnn.org. It's going to be Motown Stacks, Muscle Shoals, so much more. It's all happening as a benefit for KRNN. It's going to be 8 o'clock at the Jack on Saturday. And again, tickets at the door and are $18 and are in advance and still available for $15. It's going to be amazing. Gamble in the High Costa Living. They're an incredible Soulsville and Hitsville band. All right, coming up next, we got Nick Jans. Author Nick Jans is here to talk about his Friday Fireside Lecture. Which, Nick, you're going to have to run out of here and head right to the glacier and start as we were just saying, start lecturing.
Yeah, really. Yeah, you know, the whole idea about lecturing. Yeah. It sounds like something nasty that your parents say to you.
Well,
you
it
know.
Is. It is.
So I never liked that word because I got lectured.
A talk.
I got lectured a lot.
Yes.
That's why.
There's some of us that still right. get a little bit uptight when we hear the word lecture. But
it was deserved. But anyway, it's.
This is about the Black Wolf exhibit that's happening
yes,
out there in
is.
Conjunction with that.
Yeah,
so, yeah,
you know, it's a pretty amazing thing. On Monday, there was a blank wall. And now you have something that looks like a rock outcropping coming right out of the side of the building. And a wolf lying on top of this rock outcropping, looking like he's about to get up and yawn and stretch. And it's really, really I mean, that happened in 2.5 days. I was there 12 hours a day or more. I think one night we finished at midnight. It was a crew of two from specialty exhibit constructing company. And
you were kind of overseeing the work and making sure that it was...
And also wielding a sawzall. And there's some of my blood down inside there somewhere. I got stabbed with a knife carving foam.
It feels appropriate.
Yeah. Oh,
that there would be a little bit of your blood, sweat, and tears in this exhibit. Yeah.
Well, it's hard to believe that that wolf was shot in September of 2009, and it took till now for this to happen.
It's amazing. I thought about that, too. I realized that it had been 7 years since Romeo was kind of roaming around, and it was amazing to me to think that it's been that long. It doesn't
well,
seem like
it's
been that
year,
long.
Actually.
Yeah,
no, it doesn't. It
eight.
Doesn't.
Yeah.
And the thing is that he, you know, remains alive because of the interest, and he's really just such a unique part of this town's story, and it's not going away. If anything, it seems to be growing with time. I mean, right now
it's really interesting, and people just as it was when he was on the lake itself, and when he was roaming around, he just captured this community's imagination in a way that kind of it hadn't really happened before. It was a fascinating thing to watch. It was an exciting and emotional thing to be a part of.
Oh, it was absolutely phenomenal. And it was just such a unique Alaska experience. I mean, you know, there were actually kids who'd say to their parents, oh, do we have to go out to the glacier to see the wolf again?
But they tell the story now that they did get, now 7 years later, they get to say, I saw that wolf. I remember seeing it.
And just in my few days back in town here right now, I just keep encountering people who have their own story to tell. And very much I feel like this exhibit is something that this entire community is vested in and should take ownership of and pride in.
Now, as you tell the story of the Black Wolf, how, where do you start when you tell the story? How do you make people who maybe weren't here when that was happening or have never heard about it before understand the relationship this community had with that wolf?
Well, it doesn't matter whether you start off at the beginning, which is really the relationship between people and wolves in general, and then funnel into it, or whether you just start up with, well, I looked out my window one day and there was a wolf. Either way, it's just kabang, boom.
Right, yeah.
And there are the pictures. And you just draw it in. It doesn't matter. It was like living in a film, in a movie, that whole time. And it had all that fraught drama and everything just bundled up in it. Because the first thing you see this wolf, right there. You know, he was like right in front of our house.
Yeah.
I say, wow, there's a wolf. And then you think, my God, what's going to happen to him?
It begged the question immediately, didn't it?
The moment I saw him, I was thrilled
right.
and frightened for him. And yet he remained among us for 6 years. And this says a lot about the wolf. It says a lot about the agencies involved. It says a lot about this community. And it says a lot about that particular time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if it could happen today in Juneau. I'd like to think so. But there were fewer people out there then. And it was just a magical time that you really can't find a precedent for anywhere in the world. I've looked, but where has a wild apex predator lived among a community, really hopscotching through yards and so on?
And sort of the other thing that was amazing about it to me was for those years, seemed healthy.
Oh yeah,
it seemed vibrant. Wasn't dependent on or scavenging from the human.
Well, there's this persistent story that he was food conditioned, and that's total nonsense. Okay. Yes, Fish and Game, early on when they saw this wolf there, they picked up some of his scat and they found dog kibble in it. And I can tell you exactly where that came from because I observed it. So he was scrounging, as we all know our own disgusting labs do sometimes. He was eating dog poop.
Hmm.
He was doing what he could. And,
yeah.
and not only that, but actually, I know dogs who consider that a tasty treat.
Right.
But I picked apart his scats for 6 years and I found exactly what you'd expect to find in a wild wolf scat.
A lot of rabbits and things like that? Or
tons of snowshoe hares,
yeah.
Lots of beavers. And by the way, now that the wolf is gone, there's just this explosion
yeah.
of beavers in Dredge
sure.
Lakes. He was an expert small game predator, and he found plenty with very little competition right in this little niche there. And we sort of served as both a fence for invading packs. He had this territory he could hold down by himself,
mm-hmm.
and he got his social fix instead of from other wolves, from canines. And that gradually, even not so gradually, that spilled over into humans in short order. This whole idea that he was conditioned. He came dropping out of the sky the way he was. I can remember him just like it was yesterday. He's this gangly 2.5-year-old wolf or something like that. He had to have at least been, he was a full-grown young adult when he showed up. So we know he was at least in his second year, because of the time mm-hmm. of year and when wolves are born and all that stuff. And, I mean, within one or two encounters, I mean, there he was running into the middle of a bunch of dogs, you know, and stealing a tennis ball and running off with it. There he was going on yeah. sniff and pee excursions with, you know, Foo Foo the poodle. It was really just remarkable.
Yeah.
And it seemed so much that he could have been a released animal, you know, some captive that somebody dumped because they couldn't handle, or a wolf-dog hybrid. But then he would have been looking to people for help, for guidance. He was totally locked in and knew right what he was doing, and disappeared for long periods of time, hunted on his own, and figured out our rules. It was not because of us that he survived. It
yeah.
was a two-way street.
For 6 years, as you say.
Six years.
So tell me a little bit about this new display. How did this come about?
Well, when the wolf was killed, part of the settlement, the legal settlement by the state of Alaska, and this was at the request of and the general sentiment of many people, that a suitable thing to do with the hide would be to loan it to the Forest Service for an interpretive exhibit. But that exhibit came with conditions from the state. They didn't want it to be a memorial to this wolf, and they wanted it to be, you know, and the Forest Service itself wanted it to be something general. They're not in the business of building a shrine. And the thing is, that wasn't the purpose anyway. It was more a matter of, in a respectful way, demonstrating the attachment this community had for that particular animal by making the best use we could of his remains, which was his skinned out hide, which was actually very well taken care of. And I found I was enlisted by Ron Marvin, who was the visitor center director then, to find a suitable taxidermist. And I did. And eventually, as the project morphed, it became larger and larger, to where it became a full-blown exhibit that needed to be designed by a top-of-the-line museum designer in Seattle. And then we switched to a different taxidermist because the other guy had to bail due to other obligations. And we were lucky to fall in with Brian Kadrimus, who had a world champion taxidermist on his studio. And that's a, you know, taxidermist is a nasty word. This guy was a wildlife artist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you see this wolf, stop by. You don't have to come to the presentations tonight. You know, it's that exhibit is going to be there for a long time. It looks like him,
mm-hmm.
and it looks like he's about to get up and stretch and go look for a dog to play with. It's remarkable, but at the same time, it serves double duty as an interpretive exhibit. And the panels, which I wrote the text for with lots of guidance and lots of editing, are very generic and vanilla. They're about succession at the glacier and wolves in general.
And is the wolf named? You know, the name,
absolutely
the common
not.
Name
no, no, that, no, that was part of it.
Came but, up, the Romeo was the name that everyone kind of used,
well,
right?
You know,
and it's the name that's got your
book I could get off on the business of naming.
Yeah.
But finally, I mean, animals are named by agencies all over Alaska.
Sure.
Okay. But that's a separate issue. The fact is that this wolf is so recognizable that you could have a statue of John F. Kennedy. Do you have to write out John F.
Right.
Kennedy below it? Everybody right. knows who it is.
Yeah, right.
And at the same time, again, it carries this total double duty. If you didn't know the history of this wolf, it still is a remarkable exhibit. The quality, it's a kind of quality that you would expect to see in the Museum of Natural History, the Smithsonian. I mean, it's like that. I've seen a lot of mounted animals, and this looks like it has the breath of life in it.
Wow.
It's really, really a remarkable piece of work, and the rock outcropping, everything is, I mean, worked a long time and hard on it, and basically, you know, there were a number of people involved, but in the end, I guess I can say that it's fair to say that I raised about $40,000, mostly in Bernie Sanders amounts.
Small contributions.
I just kept that.
Yeah,
the smallest
right.
contribution I got was a quarter, and the largest contributions were sometimes in the, you know, anywhere from $1,000 on up, although almost very few of those.
It
came from people in Juneau, people across Alaska, and some generous soul in New Orleans and someone in Wisconsin, you know, is whoever just ran across the story and found it compelling.
Well, we could talk
of
about
course.
This, but you're going to be talking about it tonight. You've got, are you doing two lectures tonight?
I'm doing two presentations.
Okay.
And
lectures on here. I keep saying lectures, presentations.
I told you to put away your socks. Don't you
two presentations tonight? 6:30 and 8. Is that...
I think it's. The doors open at 5:30.
Okay.
The first presentation is at 6. In between will be an exhibit ribbon cutting ceremony. And by the way, Lori Craig and I went down to Costco and totally raided it. And there's some pretty yummy munchies.
Okay. Very good.
And then there will be a second presentation. I believe it's at 8. And if you want to go, I'm telling you, come early to either one of those shows because it is going to be pretty full. I mean, there's been a lot of interest, and it's very humbling, and I feel a sense of pride for not only for this, but for the people of Juneau.
Well, Nick Jans doing two presentations tonight at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center to open up the new Black Wolf exhibit. Thanks so much for coming in and
having so much,
great
Ann.
Presentations tonight. Thanks again for coming in. Here's
you bet.
Garrison Keillor with Writer's Almanac.
And here is the Writer's Almanac for Friday, the 13th of January, 2017. It's the birthday of Laurie Moore, born 1957, Glens Falls, New York. She said of her childhood, there was acting and dressing up. We'd play music and write crappy songs. We'd draw and paint and fancy ourselves as artistic. It was part of being a girl in the 60s that you were creative. She won a short story prize from 17 magazine when she was 19, and so she felt obliged to send them everything she had ever written. She said, they couldn't get rid of me. I was like a stalker. I sent them everything, and of course they didn't want anything more from me. She told her parents about winning the prize and found out that they had both wanted to be writers themselves. Her father went up in the attic and brought down stories that he'd once sent to the New Yorker. Her mother admitted that she'd given up journalism for nursing. Lori Moore published her first book, a collection of stories called Self-Help. The book was received well, published two novels after that, Anagrams and Who Will Run the Frog Hospital, as well as a short story collection, Birds of America. It's the birthday of Horatio Alger, Jr., born in Chelsea, Massachusetts, 1832, the author of dime novels for boys, which followed a simple formula. A young boy living in poverty manages to find success and happiness by working hard and never giving up. Rag to riches, pluck and luck, as Alger said. But tastes changed. His books didn't sell so well. He tried to make them more violent, but his income dried up, and he died in near poverty in 1899. Horatio Alger, Jr. It was on this day in 1968 Johnny Cash recorded a live concert at Folsom Prison in California. He'd written his song Folsom Prison Blues years before with the line, "I shot a man in Reno just to watch him die." He sold the idea of a live concert at Folsom to his record producer. They recorded two concerts that one day. And 4 months after the concert, the album Live at Folsom Prison reached number one on the country charts. Johnny Cash, you said, you build on failure. You use it as a stepping stone. Here's a poem for today by John Loomis at the Diamond School of Dance. It's me and the mothers out in the foyer, linoleum floors, knotty pine, late '50s rumpus room, long row of trophies, blue ribbons on a shelf. I'm here with my daughter, who's four, who, because no one gives princess lessons, has opted for dancing. She likes the tutus, the tap shoes, the tights. The teachers are kind. They're graceful as egrets, strong in the thighs. We chit-chat, the mothers and I. We futz with our phones. We're large, rooted like silos. Chopin leaks from the studio, a nocturne full of rain. The little girls dance, plié, sachet, arabesque, earnest as death, as if nothing was ever so hard or mattered so much. Mothers, let us rush in and embrace them, let us snatch them up to our great bosoms and never tell them the truth. A poem by John Loomis at the Diamond School of Dance from The Mansion of Happiness, published by Oberlin College Press and used by permission here on the Writer's Almanac, supported by the Poetry Foundation, publisher of Poetry Magazine, committed to discovering great poets and printing their verse. Back issues and subscriptions available at poetrymagazine.org. And by Staples, offering tech services for small business, like PC setup and repair. More at Staples Stores or staples.com/tech services. Staples, make more happen. Be well, do good work, and keep in touch.
School of Management at the University of Alaska Southeast offers degrees that work. Online degree programs and courses in business, human resources, management, MIS, and accounting. Explore your options online at uas.alaska.edu. This message sponsored by University of Alaska Southeast School of Management.
And welcome back to a Juno Afternoon. I'm Andy Klein, and Katie Bosler has joined me from Bartlett Regional Hospital. Katie, thanks so much for coming in.
Good to be here, Andy.
Good to have you. Where you guys are kind of helping out with healthcare enrollment for folks who haven't kind of gotten that happening yet, and You're just saying, now this is an interesting thing because, of course, this is in the headlines right now.
Right.
And we don't know what's going to happen with the Affordable Care Act. And
correct.
That's what this is part of.
Yes.
But the important thing is that if someone's out there and does not have insurance currently, they still can enroll. It still
yes.
will kick in. It'll
yep.
start happening for them. It may go away in a few months or we don't know, but it's better to do it and have something.
Well, it's
in
it's
place.
Very healthcare is very complicated, Andy, and you know our position at Bartlett at this point is, you know, we're being cautiously optimistic, and people still need insurance and they still need to sign up, and we don't know what the changes are going to be, but you know it took a while to get this thing going, and it'll take a while to make any changes as well. So the good news is. Bartlett is not holding, but hosting Get Covered Alaska next Monday afternoon and Tuesday morning. And it's pretty exciting. We have an outreach coordinator from Search named Andrea. And we also have a navigator from Anchorage coming down. They both work with Get Covered Alaska. So what they are going to be doing is holding your hand to sign up for health insurance.
So that's the one thing that you hear about the Affordable Care Act. I'm insured
yeah.
through work, so I didn't have to sign up for it.
Yeah.
But you heard, well, it's confusing. I don't know which options to pick. I don't know what's the exact right fit for me when I go through the different web pages.
Mm-hmm.
So these are people who are paid to understand what that system's all about. And,
exactly.
And they will go along with you and ask you questions about your particular situation and then help
yeah.
you fill out the best thing. That's
yeah.
really
so they
cool.
help you to navigate what's known as the health insurance marketplace. This is the federal setup. And what you do is you bring your most recent tax return and your pay stubs. Now, if you're a U.S. national, you'd bring your green card or your I-94. They prefer appointments, but you can drop in. And so what they're going to do is show you how the marketplace right now is really the only place you can get help paying your monthly premiums even. Now, I don't know the details of how that works, but they can let you know, can lower your out-of-pocket expenses. They can screen you for what you're eligible for and what your options are. Most people, some people might not know, but you can get affordable insurance. They can show you how to do it. And part of this is the Medicaid expansion for individuals between the ages of 19 and 64. This is something a lot of people don't really know happened, but it happened like a year ago. It is still in place. So Medicaid is now available to a single 19-year-old if they need insurance. And also the thing to know about through Search is that their outreach and enrollment person can help anyone. You don't have to be Alaska Native or a Search patient to get this kind of assistance.
Sounds like just a great
yeah.
program for anyone
yeah.
who. And now, what about people who don't know if they need to sign up or want to sign up yet, but is this a time when they can come and just get some information?
Yes, definitely. Yeah, and it's known as Get Covered Alaska. So, yeah. The phone number you can call if you want to make an appointment is 907-966-8883. And but you can also drop by. And the times this is happening is Monday afternoon, Martin Luther King Day from 1 to 5, and the morning of the 17th, Tuesday, from 8 a.m. to noon. This is happening in the Bartlett lobby. So if you just go to the main entrance of Bartlett Regional Hospital, and on the left side there's the patient registration office. It's the last one down on the left. That's where it's all going to be happening.
Well, what a great opportunity. Just drop in if you can't make an appointment ahead of time. Don't know if what time you can make it, but Monday from 1 to 5, Tuesday from 8 to noon,
mm-hmm.
and it's right there in the main lobby of Bartlett. And
yep.
if you have questions about coverage under the Affordable Care Act, or if you really know you need to sign up but are just confused or need help or want help or want to just make sure you pick all the correct options, it's Get Health Coverage,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
And
yep.
it's all being hosted at Bartlett.
At Bartlett, exactly.
Yes.
Exactly. So we have two people from Get Covered Alaska, from Sitka through Search, and from Anchorage from headquarters who will be there to help you. And then also if you just want to look online to see what your options are for the health insurance marketplace, you go to healthcare.gov.
Great information. Katie, thanks so much for coming in and letting us know about Get Covered Alaska happening Monday from 1 to 5, Tuesday from 8 to noon at the Bartlett Lobby.
Thank you, Andy. Have a great weekend.
Here's Bird Note.
This is Bird Note. Where have the birds of summer gone? In July, you might have heard this dawn song. Many birds singing at first light. Today, in winter, how utterly different the morning sounds. Where are the summer singers now? There's the flute-like song of a Swainson's thrush, a bird now wintering in Central and South America, maybe as far south as Bolivia. Catch the rhythmic notes of a warbling vireo, interspersed with lilting phrases of a black-headed grosbeak. Warbling vireos are now spread through much of Central America, while black-headed grosbeaks have migrated to Mexico. There's the descending trill of an orange-crowned warbler against a backdrop of robins. The warbler makes Mexico its winter home, as do some of the robins. Now the raspy Fitzbew song of a willow flycatcher. January finds it tucked away in Costa Rica or Panama. As winter turns to spring, these memorable singers will begin to fly north, where they will once again grace us with their rich dawn chorus.
Welcome back to the studios here for a Juno afternoon, where the forecast for the rest of tonight is going to be rain and some winds, with winds up to 30 miles per hour gusts and 30 miles per hour with gusts up to 45 miles per hour. So definitely windy out there. Be careful driving around and traveling around. And rain showers are predicted as well for Saturday and Sunday. So we've got that to look forward to. Oh, well, but what we have really to look forward to on Monday is a celebration of one of the most important people in the history of America, Martin Luther King Jr. We celebrate his life and his achievements on that day. And part of that here locally is going to be the annual community observance of Honoring the Dream. And Sherry Patterson is here to tell us about it. Sherry, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
Yeah, absolutely. And tell me about it. Is this something that's been going on for a few years here locally?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I've been in Juneau 30 years, and we've been doing it. I wasn't really involved when I first moved here, but shortly after I did. So I can say I've been involved at least 20 of those 30 years
right.
or more. And it is sponsored by the Black Awareness Association here in Juneau, and also Bridge Builders is working with us this year. And as you said, the theme this year is Honoring the Dream, and we're meeting at St. Paul's Catholic Church on Monday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
And every year, do you kind of pick a different theme, a different kind of
we
subject
do.
To talk
we
about?
We do. We try to align ourselves with the mother organization in Anchorage area, and so we usually have the same thing.
It's
yes.
So much to talk about in the life
so
and
much,
his
so
teachings
much.
And all the different things that he covered. So it's almost like an embarrassment of riches of what should we talk about this year.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. It's huge, very broad.
Right.
And we have We have a variety of people from different walks of life who will be speaking this year. We have several speakers, and we're excited to see what their interpretation of honoring Dr. King's dream is.
What's from years past, what are some of the things that people have brought up that maybe made you think about his life or his teachings in different ways?
We've had some who walked with him.
Wow, really?
In some of the marches.
So had personal
shared.
Experience with
yes,
him.
Yes, yes, yes. And then we've had younger people who not really experienced him, but know of him from others' experience and value his life just as much because they are where they are today because of him and because of the doors that were opened because of him.
I mean, he is someone in American history like Lincoln or, you know, these people that have kind of determined the core values of America have been kind of begun to be built around his teachings and about his life. And So it's an interesting thing to think about how younger people who weren't even alive when he
Correct.
Was alive and how they are interpreting his teachings, because it's separate from his actual life. It's
Right.
more about the legend of his
Correct.
Life.
Correct. You know, and one thing that I really enjoy about this time of the year is when it's all over and done with, we always have someone from this community that email us or call us or just share after the event. You know, I didn't know that. I've never in my life sang "We Shall Overcome."
Mm.
I've never sang, you know, these civil rights songs. I've never heard this about Dr. King before. And that's what keeps us going, the fact that we are educating our community.
Mm-hmm.
And that is exciting to us.
And tell me a little bit more about Black Awareness Association, about that, and also Bridge Builders of Juneau, those two organizations.
Bridge Builders is First Lady Donna Walker's initiative, and we've joined with her to work with that group. And it's something that originated in the Anchorage area. And now that they're here, she brought it here, and it's a great and valid group, just bringing, building the bridge between cultures and people groups and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still working on some things to get it where we want it to be, but it's an exciting time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the Black Awareness Association, what are some of the different events that happen? I know this is always something that's hallmark
we of always,
every year.
This is the first event of the year for us always, and we, of course, recognize and celebrate Black History Month in February, and those two together are very exhausting. And
so you take March off?
Yeah. No, we take the rest of the year off. It seemed like it sometimes. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit just kind of the details of this, if people want to participate.
Absolutely. I would like to also say that this day also is known as the Day of Service. And so we try to incorporate some type of something in conjunction with the event, and this year we have chosen to do a baby diaper and sock drive.
Okay, great.
And we would just like to encourage all those, there are a lot of babies that need something on their bottoms. And we're going to donate those diapers to Love Inc. and the socks to the Glory Hole.
Okay,
and so
socks
for different both genders and all age groups, and just any size of baby diapers. We'd like to see the baby diaper bucket overflowing.
So, and once again, the actual event, Honoring the Dream, is the title of it this
Correct.
Year?
Correct, yes. And we have speakers, including First Lady Donna Walker. She was our keynote speaker last year, and she's just going to be doing a brief greeting this year. I was really, really encouraged by her last year. She did an awesome job. And also we have on the lineup Representative Sam Keto. We have the ANB and ANS Grand Presidents, Sasha Soboloff and Frida Westman, who's going to come and speak to us. And we have Assemblyman Jesse Keel. We have Gina Freeman. She is the Deputy Commander with the U.S. Coast Guard. We have Praveen McCullough. He is the Vice President and Chief Financial Officer at CERCH.
And you know what? I'll have to stop you right there with that list, but it sounds great. Honoring the Dream, it's happening Monday, January 16th, this Monday at 1 p.m. at St. Paul Catholic Church. And that's at 9055 Atlin Drive in the Valley.
Yes, it is.
Thanks so much for coming in, Sherry.
Thank you so much for inviting us.
And have a great Martin Luther King Day.
Yes. We'll see you then.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And And that's it for a Juneau Afternoon for today. Thanks to all my guests for coming in and speaking with me about all these great events that are coming up, including the talk out at the Mendenhall Glacier Visitor Center and the whiskey tasting at the Red Dog, and so much more happening here this weekend and this long weekend, Martin Luther King Day weekend here in Juneau. Have a great weekend, everyone. Thanks so much for joining me, and stay warm and dry.
No political inclination. They have no political philosophy. All they come here is to send money to Cuba.
How Cubans are reacting to the end of the decades-old wet-foot, dry-foot policy that gave them special immigration status.
For Friday, January 13th, it's All Things Considered.
I'm Kelly McEvers.
And I'm Robert Siegel. Coming up, we'll talk to our regular political commentators.